This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Abraham Lincoln is not just America's greatest president. To many, his very face is an emblem of America, honest, homespun, strong and sad, haunted, brooding, and humorous. So where does some famous Yale Law School professor get off writing a novel in which President Lincoln is accused of subverting the U.S. Constitution? Did the great emancipator imprison critics, invoke martial law, suspend the writ of habeas corpus, and throttle the press to win the Civil War? You got a problem with that? That professor is Stephen Carter of the Yale Law School, author of the best-selling novels The Emperor of Ocean Park and Palace Council. His new novel is The Impeachment of Abraham Lincoln, and Professor Carter joins us from Yale. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
As you note, you take an awful lot of license with history in this novel, beginning with the fact that John Wilkes Booth shoots Abraham Lincoln at Ford's Theater, but Lincoln lives.
I should begin by explaining that I am a great Lincoln fan. I've been a Lincoln fan since I was a kid. When I was a little boy, I used to read some of my father's books about Lincoln that he kept in his study. I think Lincoln was our greatest president. I have no question about that. But at the same time, there were a lot of things that Lincoln did during his presidency in order to win the Civil War that could be called into question. And so my idea was to write a courtroom drama that was crafted around that possibility. The path I sketch in my fiction is one possible path history might have taken.
Center of your narrative is a young woman named Abigail Canner. Oberlin graduate, she wants to be a lawyer. She comes to the nation's capital. Maybe I left out until now that she's African-American. How unusual would that storyline be in this period of time we're talking about after the Civil War?
It's a remarkable story. Here's Abigail. She's 21 years old when the story begins, this young black woman who grew up in Washington, and she does want to be a lawyer. At that time, there are no female lawyers in the United States, not one. And there are maybe five or six lawyers who are black. But she conceives this idea of wanting to be a lawyer, wanting to be involved in great events. And in developing Abigail's character, part of what I had in mind is appealing to that part in all of us when we're young that's ambitious and fresh and innocent and excited and thinks the world is a just and fair place. And, of course, she goes out into that world and finds it's much more complex and dangerous than she imagined.
Let's make this clear, too, in your storyline. The president's accusers were not the mossbacked conservatives of the time, but certainly considered themselves the most progressive.
One of the things that we often forget about Lincoln is that he was not popular within his own party. The Republican Party of that day was the center of anti-slavery activism and was led by highly educated men who'd fought slavery all their lives. And they saw Lincoln as this unlettered Westerner. He had no formal education. He told funny stories. He had a funny accent. And they saw him as not sufficiently bold in freeing the slaves and prosecuting the South. And even as the war progressed and even as the Union began to win, the leaders of his own party, who simply thought he was not morally as good as they were.
The case for impeachment against President Lincoln that his critics make, I think will strike a lot of readers as pretty convincing. Could you, Professor, review it for us?
Well, let me first make clear that I myself don't think that Lincoln should have been impeached. But if you look at the things Lincoln actually did, his administration shuttered opposition newspapers, locked up editors, court-martialed reporters at the front who wrote unfavorable stories, suspended habeas corpus, ignored court orders, declared martial law. And for Lincoln, all of this was justified by his belief that it was necessary to win the war. And that's the question that in my novel that the Senate has to confront. Did Lincoln have a justification for the various things he attempted to do that he said were necessary in order to win the war? I think it's a fascinating question.
You've got a number of scenes where we see and hear President Lincoln. You know, and I think to Americans, even people around the world, Abraham Lincoln will never be just another character. I mean, whole books have been made out of little jokes that he's alleged to have told people and little remarks attributed to him. Was it intimidating to write dialogue for Abraham Lincoln?
Not only was it intimidating to write dialogue for Lincoln, it was enormously difficult. And I think one of the reasons that he ends up being only in about five scenes in the whole novel is precisely that I didn't want to stray too far from the record and bring the whole legion of Lincoln aficionados down on my head. What I've tried to do with Lincoln is this. He tells a number of his funny stories in the book, as he did in real life, and the stories he tells in the book are all stories that were pretty well attributed to him. Where he has to talk about other things, I tried to use the cadences that, so far as I can tell, were accurate, and I did that two ways. One was by reading accounts that other people had written over the years of their own conversations with Lincoln. The other is by reading very heavily in Lincoln's correspondence and, of course, his speeches to try to get the rhythm right, even when I was inventing words.
Professor Carter, may I ask, have you read or seen Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
I have not seen Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter yet, but everybody keeps asking me about it, and I think I'm going to go see it. You know, I think it sounds like it might be fun. And the truth is, anything that gets people to take a real interest in Lincoln, I think, is a good thing.
Stephen Carter, Yale Law professor and novelist. His new book is The Impeachment of Abraham Lincoln, speaking with us from Yale. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.